Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the African American Family Room Forum on Booker T. Washington Speaks this evening, Saturday, March the 24th. And we'd like to give a big shout out to my beloved wife, Miss Jacqueline Corrine Benson Abui, on her birthday today. So we hope that our beloved sweet Jackie has had a wonderful day so far on this birthday of hers. I won't announce her age. Most women don't like their ages to be broadcast, but she is still just as young and beautiful as ever as when I married her almost 41 years ago. But we're going to have a show tonight that will address the topic: does the black superhero movie, Black Panther, have positive educational value for African American youth? If so, should it be played in our public schools as part of an African American heritage event? So this is actually a two-part question. First, does the black superhero movie, Black Panther, have positive educational value for African American youth? And if so, should it, meaning should the movie Black Panther, be played in our public schools as part of an African American heritage event? And so while we're waiting for our guest scholars to call in, we're going to go ahead and play our commercial, and hopefully after the commercial has ended, some of our panelists that usually come on, as well as others, will have joined us, and we can talk about this topic. And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message,
include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
jamming to you all night long, and I want you to know that this party ain't stopping until you dance with me. I wanna free you up until your body feels free to express how I feel, baby. I feel so real. I wanna be the one to hold you, be the one to hold you tight. I wanna wrap you in my arms, so baby, give me a smile. Tell me how much you like it, and if knowing me is worth a while. Oh, baby, you make me say, oh, baby, oh, girl, might as well dance till the break of night, until the morning light. Ooh, don't this feel so right? Oh, baby, well,
like myself, celebrating your sweetie's birthdays today. That record was played for you and for them. Lawrence Beeman, Looking for Me. We're still waiting for our other guests to come on, so we're going to go ahead and continue to entertain with a little musical play. So just hold on to your seatbelts, and we're going to share some more music with you in just a minute. We want you to enjoy the show. We hope that we will have some others to come on so we can talk about the Black Panther movie, but in the meantime, just enjoy the music. Thank you. Well, for those of you who are listening via the internet, you are free to call in. We invite you to call in and give us your thoughts and opinions concerning the topic. We are discussing the topic tonight. Does the black superhero movie Black Panther have positive educational value for African American youth? And if so, should it be played in our public schools as part of an African American heritage event? I visit schools, especially during the month of February, Black History Month. And on several occasions, I remember one in particular, in addition to the talk that I gave to these grade school students, and I speak to college students, high school students, and grade school students, and the grade school students, in addition to hearing my talk, were also treated to a short movie about a real historical black superhero, not a fantasy hero, but a real superhero, Booker T. Washington, my great-grandfather. And so it's not unusual in the public schools during Black History Month for the schools to show movies about black historical heroes. So the question that we are asking is, does the black superhero movie Black Panther have positive educational value for African American youth? And if so, should it be played in our public schools as part of an African American heritage event? We invite you to call in and let us hear your thoughts about the question. Let me give you, for those of you who know much yet about the movie, who have not seen it or read about it, let me share something from a review. The Black Panther movie is a thriller. In the movie, we have the star, who is named T'Challa, a black man in the mystical kingdom of Wakanda. And as T'Challa prepares to ascend to the throne of Wakanda following the death of his father, King T'Chaka, his old enemy, the old enemy of his country, Ulysses Klaue, Klaue, emerges from the shadows, and he breaks into a British museum and steals a rare Wakandan artifact. Ulysses breaks into a museum in Britain and he steals a rare Wakandan artifact made of vibranium. Now, vibranium is the strongest metal on earth, and it's the precious metal that holds the key to Wakanda's many secrets, from the country's advanced technology to Black Panther's impenetrable armor and the rare herb that gives or provides him with his superhuman abilities. So T'Challa teams up with Okoye, a lady named Okoye, who is the head of the Dora Milaje, who are the personal bodyguards. He also teams up with his former lover, whose name is Nakia, who has become Wakanda's secret agent. And he teams up with these ladies, as well as others, to track down Clowey and to stop the black market arms dealer once and for all. This is a Caucasian named Ulysses Clowey. However, it turns out that Ulysses Clowey is little more than the mass one by far more dangerous enemy, one known as Eric Killmonger Stevens, who is a determined man with a mysterious past, who has big plans that not only threaten T'Challa's reign as king, but the very future of Wakanda itself. And so the hero, T'Challa, and for those of you who haven't seen the movie, I don't want to give up the plot any more than I have, but he is confronted with several dangerous enemies. One, who he defeats and who becomes his ally, but the other two who are out to destroy his reign and take over the riches of Wakanda, the vibranium wealth of Wakanda. And Wakanda is a beautiful country in Africa, an ideal society of very, very well behaving black people. And so this movie has been praised by many people because here we have a black superhero in a black world that's, even though there's some violence and animosity, black against black, it's all handled very well, and the good black man is presented as a superhero ideal character. So that's the reason why we picked this to talk about tonight, because the question that we have is, isn't it good or is it not good to have a movie with black superheroes or a black superhero? But again, this is something that we can talk about, because if this is such a good thing, then shouldn't we encourage our school principals to play it the way we have played other movies? I mentioned about the Booker T. Washington movie that was played at the Black History Program. So we should think about these things. And we do have a caller, and caller, I am trying to get your microphone turned on so you can respond. Just please be patient and give me a second while I work on that. In the meantime, it's a technical issue that I'm going to get fixed in just a second. And while we're working on that, we want to play something that is dear to our hearts, the Black National Anthem. So we just wanted to go ahead and give you a little bit of the Black National Anthem. We usually end our program each Saturday evening with that, but we thought we'd go ahead and give you something very uplifting spiritually as we get into our discussion. So we have opened up the mic for our caller, and we invite you to join us for a discussion of our topic. Does the black superhero movie Black Panther have positive educational value for African American youth? If so, should it be placed in our public schools as part of an African American heritage event? And so we'd love to hear your response. Our caller, who has been with us now for a few minutes and hopefully waiting to be heard. Our caller is from the 724 area code, and the last three digits of your number are 397. Let's hear from you. Please go ahead and let's hear your opinion. Okay, apparently our caller may have left the phone for just a minute or may have decided to listen tonight. We do have that option open. So what we want to do now, while we're waiting for others who may want to share, is to actually play a part that we had pre-recorded that... There's a quotation from a talk. Actually, it was actually not just a talk, but it was a published talk by a friend of mine who some people may know and others may not, because although he has an international audience, many people may still not be familiar with him. And that person is Minister Ismail Muhammad, the son of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're going to share with you some thoughts from him in just a second. But he's a young man that we think very highly of. We met him only once in Chicago several years ago. We've been very impressed with him and his development as a African-American leader. As we have come to know about him, we've listened to him, seen him on YouTube making presentations concerning Booker T. Washington. He made this presentation that we're going to try to share with you here in just a minute. But in the meantime, we see that we have another caller, our dear friend, Sister Baena. And Sister Baena, thank you for joining us tonight, and we want to share with you our topic. The topic is, does the black superhero movie Black Panther have educational value, for African-American youth? And you being a very accomplished teacher of African-American youth, hopefully you will have some knowledge about things that are valuable in terms of the media, such as the movies. So we want to know, does the black superhero movie Black Panther have positive educational value for African-American youth? And if so, should it be played in our public schools as part of an African-American heritage event? And before you came on, we mentioned how in our travels to speak, especially during Black History Month, we have traveled to many schools, and one of the schools where we went right here in Augusta, Georgia, actually, the teacher played a brief movie, a nice movie about Booker T. Washington, who, of course, can be regarded as a superhero amongst our people. So if we are already showing our students, especially during Black History Month, movies, educationally valuable movies about important black figures, should perhaps this movie Black Panther be shown as part of an African-American heritage event. So we invite you, Sister Vaina, and all of our guests who have joined us to share your thoughts with us on that subject. We'd love to hear what you would like to offer. And I believe that, we still have everybody on the line. I believe we still have the mics turned on for anyone who wants to speak.
Good evening, everybody. I don't want to speak on it just this minute because I have different thoughts about that movie. When I go to look at movies, I tend to pick up on subliminals and stuff like that, and you know, hidden messages. So I'll just wait a few minutes before I respond to that. I have to think about that. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Well, you think about it, and we want to invite anyone else who might have an opinion to go ahead and to join us. We'd love to hear whatever your feelings are, whether you are in favor of it or not, because we need to hear all sides of the question. But we wanted to put it out there so we could get a feel for what our African-American community is thinking about it. As I said, it does have a mythical superhero who does good in the movie. It does address some other issues, such as neocolonialism. And it also addresses issues such as black-on-black crime and women's liberation to a certain extent, because the main army protective force for the king is an army of women commanded by a strong black woman. It has a number of different sub-themes, including the resources of the wonderful, beautiful land of Africa, where I have visited on several occasions. And each time I visited Mother Africa, I was impressed with its broadness, with its beauty, and its largeness. Most people don't realize that Africa itself is about almost a third of the land area of the earth. The maps that traditionally have been used in the schools have reduced the size of Africa to about two-thirds of its real size. Just recently, a new map came out that is being used in the schools in Delaware that is a better representation of the size of Africa, and it's larger than I ever imagined it to be when I was growing up and going to school and saw the world map. The new map shows it in its more proper perspective, and it's very, very, very big. And I remember traveling down the Nile, the Red Sea, from the tip of Africa about halfway down to the port of Djibouti, and from there we crossed over into the Indian Ocean, so I didn't go all the way down to the southern tip. And it took us over a day, maybe a day and a half, almost 2 days, traveling down the Red Sea just to get halfway down the coast of Africa. And as I looked on
to the land from the deck of the ship and looked up at the plateaus on the side descending so high that one would think that to get up to the top would be like being almost in the sky. And it was all beautiful and green. And this is an experience that I will never forget, but there's still more to come, because even though I went to Egypt, where some of the great civilization for black people was developed, and don't allow yourself to be fooled by some of the movies like the Elizabeth Taylor version of Cleopatra, because I actually saw on the walls of old, ancient, thousands of year old temples, the history of Africa, the people, they actually wrote their history, what's called hieroglyphics, which are picture stories. And so I was able to confirm what I had heard, was that the great civilizations in Africa were civilizations of black colored people, brown and black colored people, and the white people were the slaves until later in the history, when they were able to infiltrate and subvert the black leadership and take over. But I have many friends, and even though some of them are light skinned, if they were to walk into a restaurant down here in Georgia that still was prejudice against black people and didn't want to be nice and serve black people in a decent manner, these people, if they didn't let somebody know they weren't Americans, they would be treated just like any other brown-skinned Negro, because they are part of who we are. So that was good for me to see that, as well as to go to Morocco and see this beautiful, well-developed land where it almost looked like being in a paradise when I rode or walked through the streets there in Morocco. And you know, it was Morocco that civilized Europe. The people of Europe, which is a lot smaller than a lot of people think. I traveled by plane from England all the way down to Italy and could see all of Europe, because the plane flew low enough to where I could see Europe from the air. And it's not as large as a lot of people think it is. And Africa is a lot larger than most people ever could imagine. So I'm saying all this to say that this movie, The Black Panther, idealizes the African people, and that's something that we don't see much of in the movies. So I know that some people may find that some of the subtopics may disagree with their attitudes about certain things, and that's okay, because that's what we do on this family room forum. We agree and we disagree, we talk back and forth. So at this point in time, we're going to go ahead and be quiet and ask you if you have any opinions, because I will be honest with you and tell you that tonight's show may be 1 hour long instead of 2 hours long. We set the show up to go for 2 hours, but only if we have a vibrant, activated, ongoing discussion. But if we don't, then I will fill in the blanks, so to speak, with music and my opinions and conversations. And then we'll shut off the program at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So we're within about 15 minutes of that magic hour. So we have a few minutes to have a conversation. And so I'm inviting everyone who wants to dial in, if you haven't dialed in yet, and those who have dialed in, to share. And the topic again does the black superhero movie Black Panther have positive educational value for African American youth? If so, should it be played in our public schools as part of an African American heritage event? Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and entertain those of you who might like music with a little something that hopefully you'll like in just a minute. But we do want to introduce our book. That's how we are able to broadcast this program, through the sale of our book. So we want to introduce our book with our commercial at this time. And hopefully, if you haven't bought the book, you'll go ahead and order your copy today. The book is called B.T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And it's only $20. And what the book is actually designed to do is overcome the lack of knowledge of the history of our people, our development from the days after slavery and the opposition that our leaders had to overcome just to give us a decent education. So we would like to welcome our dear brother and friend, Mr. Bianchi. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well, but I had just made an announcement, Mr. Bianchi, that we might close the show out at 9 o'clock. We set the show up to be 1 hour long, but we have actually arranged to have 2 hours in case that we have a really activated discussion going. We can go for the extra hour, but otherwise we'll just go for 1 hour, and we've been on now about 50 minutes, and so we have an audience on the internet, but the ones that have called in have pretty much decided just to listen, and I've been talking more than my share, and I've just about reached a point to where I don't want to be having a monologue, but I hope that you were able to talk.
Well, yeah, the movie can be just that. Movies and stories can be utilized to carry forth some talking points and be used as a guide in educating. So, yes, it can be. It can pose a visual translation into the minds of people and help to give them some sort of inspiration. And also it offers many more opportunities in the things that can be spun off from the movie. So, yes, I agree with that.
Well, that's very positive. I personally feel the same way. And wish that more producers and financiers actually devote the energy and the time to produce other movies, even some put into a more Americanized setting. There's so many things that are positive that can invite us to address issues that we still need to work on, even something as simple as competition in our entrepreneur-related businesses, as some of the large behemoths, some of the large gigantic chains moving to our neighborhoods using the most advanced technology and business skills and began to push us out into the wilderness because we are not knowledgeable enough to garner a good share of the market, even among our own people, because we don't have the money to invest in advertising or constructing some of the more attractive type of locations and so forth. And even things like this can be food for some good dramatic productions about how our people can work through these challenges to be able to compete. Booker T. Washington developed a model at Tuskegee by basically enforcing a code of tea and what I would say excellent service among the people that had joined him in the National Business League. He didn't have any dictatorial power over them, but he got them to agree that they would maintain a certain standard in their businesses and share ideas on how they could attract people to come to their businesses because they had such a high level of service. And so even things like this that are historically relevant can be used as material for screenplays that relate positively to our people. So even though the story in the Black Panther movie is set in a beautiful location in Africa, there's no reason why we can't have superhero type role model ideas right here in our home country. Africa is not where most of us will ever go and visit. I've been fortunate, and you have too, but most of our people will never see the ups and the downs, and I've seen the ups and the downs in Africa. And sadly, in terms of its present situation, I've seen more downs than ups, except for the beauty of the place itself. If you get away from the cities that oftentimes are very trashed out. But anyway, we did want to let everyone know that you can call in if you are listening via the internet. You can call in to 657-383-0671. Again, 657-383-0671. And join us in our family room forum. We're going to only be on now for probably another 10 minutes or so. But we would like to invite anyone who wants to join us to call in. And if we get a good conversation going, we'll go a little longer. Well, Sister Bonnie, you said you wanted to think about it. We just have a few minutes left. Have you thought about it? Would you like to share some ideas with us? Okay, that's one thing about our family. We don't put any pressure.
Okay, I will. Okay, I still like them. I will. I guess I can say that speaking as an educator, the movie does foster academic achievement, social responsibilities, and it could possibly be a way to prepare students for a society. It's culturally responsive pedagogy. It does that, and then reminds every student that they matter. It's a way that you can possibly instill pride. An identity, not as a threat, but as a necessity, and the classrooms are more diverse today. So I think it, you know, the nation level conduct, it shows the possibilities where superheroes can be. Shown in, as a way of strength showing an experience. I think that Black Identity was valued and it was represented pretty much and actively embedded in, you know, as a learning experience. And I think the movie shows that I have mixed feelings about this movie, but it affirms that and supports Black Identity, which is a good thing, and it shows a cultural nation shows an inclusiveness and adequate, you know, it supported adequate representation of Blackness, and I guess it represented Blackness synonymous with royalty and courageousness and brilliance and collective environment, and it was very. But I still have mixed feelings, but I'm not going to go into my negative side. I'm going to try to stay positive. As a Black history movie, it has educational value for the youth. I would agree with that, yes. And it broke so many boundaries. I mean, it's a phenomenal movie, but I still have my negative side. I'm trying to keep it suppressed. I think the movie has the power to ignite an educational movement, and I think that it shows a revolutionary movement in film, and it's the first Marvel movie that was directed by a Black filmmaker, had a predominantly Black cast. It smashed the box office and made over $700 million worldwide in the first couple of weeks. And it is also the highest grossing solo superhero movie in history. And I think that those just knowing those kind of things and being having representation that inclusive of different cultures, like American culture and African culture, and they shut down authentic, you know, African garbs and stuff like. I think all those things would be good for a movie like that to be shown in the education system. And that's all I have to say. I think I said too much. I'm trying to keep my negative side suppressed this evening, but that's what I have to say about the Nation of Wakanda. And the possibilities. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, very good. Ms. Pianki, did you want to comment on what Sister Baina just said?
No, she pretty much covered it.
Okay, well, I'm going to close out. Okay, fine. I'm going to close out in just a minute. I do want to mention this. There's a professor, I can't remember which college she teaches at, but her name is Dr. Pogue, P-O-G-U-E. And if you go up on YouTube and just put in her name, you'll be able to see a video. And she actually does a very detailed job of explaining some of the major themes and nuances in the movie, and one of the things that she points out is how the actual costumes, you see it again, or if you see clips of it on YouTube, how they have certain patterns of design in the clothing, and how these actually are derived from real African dress, and how these different patterns have a message or messages. And so she goes into more detail about how our young people can be well served in addition to becoming literally proficient, how they can also learn to better communicate and transfer ideas as some of the older generations of Africans did through pictures. And before you came on, Mr. Biaki, I was just mentioning how when I visited Egypt and I went to one of the temples, actually, it's the Temple of Ramses, which is near the, right in the same location as the Pyramids of Giza, and one of the guides was the one that told me that it was a temple dedicated to Ramses because there was no big sign there, but one of the guys said this is Ramses' temple, and it was mostly ruins, but there was a wall there that hieroglyphics had been preserved, and I was able to look at it and see some of the history of ancient Egypt just on the walls where the people had actually put these pictures there thousands of years ago. And I'm just saying that many people, even though they may not have been known for being literate in the sense that we think of literacy today, they did have language and express themselves in writing through pictures. And so Dr. Poole was saying how that might be an alternative, not a replacement, but another way that we can try to reach our young people to help them become more literate is to use this technique of picture stories or picture language. And so she's using the Black Panther movie just to draw from the pictures on those costumes. So there's a lot that
what is your name
can be...
Name?
Dr. Pogue, I can't remember her first name, but the name is spelled P-O-G-U-E. And if you just do a search up on the YouTube, you should be able to see this lecture that she gave on that.
Okay.
But there's a lot we could talk about, and perhaps we will entertain this discussion at another time when we have more people that have joined us. But we're going to close out now, unless anybody has some final comments they want to make.
Well, I was just going to make a real quick comment on these demonstrations we have going on. About,
yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of saddened by it myself because it's being led off and it's becoming politics. You got Democratic factions that are registering people. You got attacks on organizations like the NRA, which is an advocacy organization that advocates for gun owners and those who support a Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. But I wish that you would see that type of demonstration by African Americans against the NEA, National Education Association, and the American Federation of Teachers, AFT, on the issue of school choice. Because blacks, when polled and surveyed, overwhelmingly, they say they want school choice to include vouchers. And these two organizations use their funds to buy off your politicians. They affect the decision of your politicians the same way they accuse the NRA doing. A lobby is a lobby.
You know, Mr. Kiyosi, I've been thinking about you with, you know, you're always talking about the alternatives for school and educating people. I came to the conclusion today that I think it would be better for everybody to keep their children at home and for our government to come up with some kind of educational program that they can put on television so people can learn on TV. You know, same way that people are going to classes online and doing webinars, I think we need to do like a Sesame Street type thing for every grade level at different times during the day. And I'm really tired, really afraid for the children and the NRA and the gun and all this, all these guns and stuff. I'm at the point now in my life where I think that everybody needs to keep their children at home, and we need a totally different school system for the 21st century and have it televised and piped right into people's homes every day. Give everybody a giant Promethean board, and for whatever grade children that they have in the school, have a special program every day for the teacher to come on that Promethean board and educate the children at home, because I'm tired of all this craziness that's going on in the school system.
Well, I'm for a parent deciding what they want to do themselves and deciding how they want to go about using it and what they use being dependent upon their own decisions.
That's why you have to have propaganda. That's why people use propaganda.
Well,
so they can persuade people. You're using propaganda right now. You're very persuasive with your propaganda, too.
It has nothing to do with propaganda. It has to do with what people want. It's based on when people are asked, numbers and numbers and numbers of people, and when they are asked.
I don't think the American people even think anymore. They don't even think. They don't even have time to think. They're bombarded every day on the airwaves. Every day they're bombarded with all kinds of stuff. I don't even think the parents are thinking clearly.
Well, some don't. And many do. But the thing is that parents need to have the option to put their child in the environment that they feel best for them. And especially in the African-American community, because what's going on and the results that you see coming out of those institutions is just totally deplorable and sad. But in them, you have individual parents who are accountable. You have students who are not being challenged. And as I said before, at certain levels, children aren't supposed, the students aren't where they should be, although it may appear that they are.
Now, I know that we got to do something. We have to do something about that school, that pipeline that goes from the school to the prison system. You know, there are too many third grade people who don't know how to read, and I know that the government goes around and gets all the reading scores for the children nationwide to let them know how many jails they have to build so they can continue to perpetuate this pipeline that they got school to prison, and it's just modern-day slavery. I see it as modern-day slavery, and I don't know how we're going to teach these people how to read in the third grade, but something has to be done, and it's really disturbing me that we have so many children who do not know how to read in the African-American community in the third grade, okay? That is a big issue with me. That's really something. And then I said, well, let me do a tutoring program at the library or something. Okay, who's going to bring them there? Oh, let's do an after-school program. The parents don't want to pick the kids up after school. They can't take the kids up after school. They're still working. You know, so there's so many. So that's why I'm saying that now I'm at the point where I think we need to put a Promethean board in everybody's home and have a Mr. Rogers type, Sesame Street, whatever, high school, college, do it all at home. You don't even have to leave home anymore. I don't see people need to leave home anymore. Too many mentally ill, insane people out here. And this country is closing all the mental institutions down, so that's going to be another problem. So you don't know what's going on out there. So, yeah, stay at home with the children. And, you know, have somebody there to babysit them and make sure they all get educated on the teaching board at home. That's my solution for that.
Let me just put a word in sideways, however you want to call it. And I'm going to make it kind of brief, but I think you and all of us need to understand, first of all, for many generations in our nation's history, there was no requirement for most people to go to school. They worked out in the farms. They knew how to do what they knew how to do because it was passed on from father to son or mother to daughter. And then the age of the Industrial Revolution swept the Northeast in particular and spread, and people, even children, were trained by a show and tell how to operate machines, and
It was only actually in the mid-1800s, actually during the what we would say administration, presidential administration of Andrew Jackson, a populist who wanted the general population of everyday people to be participants in the government and encourage people that didn't even know how to read to go and vote. And Horace Mann up in Massachusetts was disturbed, as well as other educators, that so many illiterate people were beginning to get control of the city and state governments that didn't even know how to read the newspaper, didn't know the positions of the people that were running. And
Horace Mann,
so,
as an elite school too, by the way.
Oh yeah, Horace Mann.
It cost about over $40,000 to attend in a year, starting from elementary. I don't know if they got it at high school, but an appreciable portion of their population is black.
Yes, now, but in the beginning, he was mostly promoting the idea of the more, what we would say, working-class white people just being able to become literate, and promoted the establishment of the public school system. So my point is that now we have a system where it's taken for granted that children should go to school, that they should be taught to read and write. It wasn't always the case. Now we have this public school system that doesn't seem to be working out as well as it should for lots of reasons I won't go into. Sister Blaney, you mentioned the fact of parents working and not being able to take their children to after school activities. There's a lot of reasons. But you know, the thing about it was that I was the co-founder actually, of a private school. It wasn't a charter school. It was completely self-supported by the families of people that had school children there. It was a Muslim school out in California. We had children reading at the age of 3 years old because we allowed children to come to school and be in the first grade at 3 years old. We didn't have a kindergarten. When a child came in at three, immediately was taught the same things that 5 and 6 year olds were being taught in the public school systems in Oakland, and it worked out very well. And we had students that went through that system all the way through the 12th grade and went to schools like Harvard, Yale, and so forth. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of vouchers, because had we had vouchers, we could have had some nice laboratories for those students, which we, you know, didn't have the equipment that we would have liked to have had. We would have had a better library, even though we had a decent library, because we did have people that donated books for our library, but we didn't have money to go out and buy collections of books. So if we'd had a voucher system in place, or even if we had been able to get registered as a charter school, our kids could have had a lot better opportunities, but they did very well with what we had. So I'm a big proponent of magnet schools, charter schools, and voucher-supported private schools, including parochial schools, whether they're Muslim schools or Jewish schools or Catholic schools. So, Ms. Bianchi, I believe we're on the same page in that regard. But listen, folks, I'm going to have to ask you to bear with me tonight.
Okay, well, I'll see you guys next week.
I look forward to you. Come on back next week, and we'll have a good interesting time to talk about. Thank you so much. All right, so we're going to go ahead and close out now. As you know, this is a special night for me and my family. It's my wife's birthday. And so we're going to go ahead and basically say goodnight now to all of you who have joined us. Hopefully you'll join us next week, and we'll have a nice conversation. We're just going to go ahead and close out now with a little jazzy piece right here. And get it on. Otherwise, we'll just say goodnight to everyone. And maybe we won't have the music. Okay, well, thank you all for joining us tonight. And we hope you'll join us again at 8 o'clock Eastern next week for Booker T. Washington Speaks, African American Family Room Forum. Thank you and good night.